Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, tonight's show is brought to you by MyBookie.com. Get in on the action and bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere at MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Welcome to the Monday Morning Recap Show, everybody. We're early.
We are.
This is 10 minutes before 5 on the East Coast. That's nice, dude. That's really early. Yeah. Are you tired? Do you want to sleep or on in? You want to grab an extra 10 and come back, Delco?
Can we hit the snooze?
We sure can. Yeah. We sure can. I wish we would have hit the snooze on UTSA over the weekend, but... We'll get there.
Things got away from us.
Showed a little pluck, but...
Me and my Roadrunners, you know, can't be throwing that pick six.
No, you can't. That really beefed us. We'll get to that in a minute. NFL action was on yesterday. Ton of great games. Ton of great comebacks.
I went golfing.
Did you really?
Yeah, fuck the NFL.
I saw Paige. Was Paige on the show this morning?
I just did her show, yeah.
Oh, you did her show. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. I saw that on the schedule. Do you want to promote it real quick since you're talking about golf?
Yeah, I don't know when it's going to drop, but I went on her show.
What's the name of it?
I forget.
Big fan, huh?
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
Paige Sporanic.
Yep, there you go.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. Delco went on the show. Did you guys talk about LIV Golf?
We did a little bit. We saw Bryson get nearly decapitated by a rope.
Yep.
Yeah.
Almost died. Cam Smith won.
It's called Playing Around.
Yeah.
Playing Around with Paige Renee. So
I like that. Yeah. I like that. There you go.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, puns. There you go.
I'm not a pun guy.
No, I am. I like puns.
I'm fine
with it. I just want him to know.
Kind of offended by
his ex-girlfriend's show, but whatever, man. That's on you.
It is good, by the way, that Bryson is getting some sort of like tolerance for potential beheadings now that he plays for the Saudis. You know what
sure
I mean?
Is.
He's getting normalized.
It was great because the announcer was like, "And off with his head."
Yeah. They do that.
They're really leaning into it. I like it.
Why not?
It wasn't Faraday.
Oh, wasn't.
I appreciate it.
Greg Norman's meeting with Congress, by the way, to talk about LIV Golf. I think it's this week, maybe the beginning of next.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye on that. Like I said before, there's a lot of comebacks in the NFL yesterday. Great day to watch the games. One team that did not come back, however, was the Cincinnati Bengals against the Dallas Cowboys. This fucked me in a parlay pretty hard on MyBookie.com. I had this teased down to -1, thinking, all right, they lost the first game. They're not going to go 0-2. They just went to the Super Bowl, and now here we are against a backup quarterback, Cooper Rush, and the Bengals are now 0-2. D'Anthony, what is the fucking problem in Cincinnati? No, feel free.
It's not Joe Burrow. Although I did see him make some errant passes where there didn't appear to be a lot of pressure, but I think he's in his own head now. He spent a good portion of the afternoon on his back, just like he did in game one, just like he did the entire first 7 games 2 years ago before he got knocked out for the season, which I think is what he's on the trajectory for that right now.
Dan, stop being so rational. Joe Burrow stinks now.
Yeah.
2 games into the season, absolute bust.
I'm having a hard time, even Greeny on ESPN, like that, maybe he's just because the Jets actually won a football game, he's out of his mind right now. But even he's overreacting to some of this stuff. I mean, it's very obvious that the Bengals have some of the most dynamic offensive weapons in football, and they can't utilize them because their fucking offensive line stinks.
Yeah, and I'm going to read you some stats here from Joe Burrow from yesterday's game. 24 of 36 for 199 yards.
Bomb.
One touchdown. That's garbage. Some Baker can't Mayfield play with shit.
Don't want him.
But I think the most important stat out of this, he was sacked 6 fucking times. His QBR was 48.6
hanging on to the ball too long.
By the way, never forget that it was the offensive line that literally cost them the Super Bowl on the final play of the game.
Yeah. Cost him his first season in the NFL, cost him the Super Bowl, and they're costing him games right now as well.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm Joe Burrow, honestly, like, he's a fighter. He wants to be in there and play and shit, but it's like, do you fake an injury? I mean, like, from the organization standpoint, baseball teams do this in September a lot. They're like, oh, he's going on the DL for, like, a tired arm or whatever the fuck. Just to give him rest and get that extra roster spot without having to send him down or fuck with contracts and shit. It might be a decent idea for the Bengals to put Burrow on the fucking pup until they can get him.
Punt on the season?
What? They're 0-2. First of all, they're 0-2, and the season isn't getting any easier for them. Like, the defenses are going to get worse or are better against them over as time goes on. How many times did he get sacked in the first game? It was the same, right?
Listen, they don't have to run into the Cooper Rush buzzsaw anymore.
Well, look, and they also play in one of the easiest divisions in football. The fucking Browns are there, for Christ's sakes. And Pittsburgh's there. They look like dog shit.
Ravens blew
just
it.
The Ravens. Ravens blew it. Yeah. He got bad on Sunday. And it's not that.
Burrow got sacked 7 times in game.
In game one?
6 times in this game.
And honestly, not just one. Importantly, how many times did he get
not
hit?
Two.
Even
34.
Not 3.
He's on pace for 34. He's on pace to get sacked 110 times.
That's
this year.
Incredible.
I mean, it's incredible for everybody except for Joe fucking Burrow.
I know.
Who's like, I think most people would agree, probably one of the more talented, if not the most talented, quarterback to come out of the draft in a while, right? Probably 10 years.
What if he simply decided to stop getting sacked?
Yeah.
I would try that.
Drink some ayahuasca and put it on your vision
board. I think the only thing you could do, in all sincerity, in that situation is go shotgun every single time. If your offensive line is that bad, go shotgun every single time and then just throw it. I mean, if you look at his receivers, it's incredible. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Hayden Hurst has looked great through the first 2 games. Tyler Boyd is an excellent third wide receiver. Maybe just go shotgun every single game. I mean, Joe Mixon did nothing on the ground yesterday, 19 carries, 57 yards in this. He didn't do him any fucking favors. But on the flip side of this, Dallas wasn't that fucking great either. Ezekiel Elliott has 100 yards rushing through 2 games total. He looks like dog shit. Tony Pollard looks like the better running back there. Cooper Rush, 19 of 31, 235 yards. Blah. I mean, it was a 20-17 game. I know Dallas has a pretty decent defense, but they've got one fucking receiver, and that's about it on this whole fucking team. Like, it should have been a pretty easy victory for the Bengals yesterday.
They got the best player in all NFL.
Who's that?
Micah Parsons.
He's great.
Yeah, 2 sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. A
couple of tip passes. I mean, he's, dynamic.
God, you've got to be just, like, literally fucking like, if you're the Chiefs, you like, how do you watch this team that's like the same team as last year and be like, what the fuck, dude? We can go to the Super Bowl because of that team.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Laziness. Yeah. Laziness out of the Chiefs, that's it.
Yeah.
If the worst part about this, though, that we're not talking about is Cowboys fans are now going to say they're going to win it all again because homeboy's going to be out for only 4 games.
But
so now they only need to get through 3 more.
Good.
And then Dak is back, and they think they're going to be champions again because they just beat Joe Burrow.
Because they got a franchise guy in Cooper Rush now.
You can't enjoy the Cowboys' pain, Cowboy fan pain, without Cowboy fan hubris. So let that balloon inflate.
Okay.
Let it inflate. You should.
I don't want a 3-13, 4-12 Cowboys team. Do you know how boring that is?
Yeah, you want like a 9-7, or I guess 9-8, or 10-8. Cowboys team.
Yeah, well, however many games there are this year.
Yeah, whatever.
Now, whatever we've moved on to. But yeah, no, I want the Cowboys to be borderline playoffs and just have their heart ripped out of their chest. Yes.
Yeah. Look, congratulations, Cowboys fans, I guess. Easy division, so they could come back. Who fucking knows over there? The Jets and the Browns. Anybody watch that game? That was super fucking exciting.
No, I was doing something a lot more fun than watching the Jets play the Browns in football.
Which was then?
I was flying with a baby.
Oh, were you?
And that is better than watching the Jets play the Browns in fucking football.
Yeah, it was actually a really, really great game. Surprisingly, the Jets came all the way back. Joe Flacco had 4 touchdowns and 300 yards passing in this one.
Is he still elite?
He looked it yesterday. Holy shit. But it was an oddly fun game to watch. They scored 17 in the fourth, and it was fun, but it was a nice comeback for those guys. Speaking of comebacks, Arizona against the Raiders. The Raiders are still the Raiders. Doesn't matter what you do. You can get Devontae Adams or you get the best wide receiver in the league. It doesn't do anything. You're still 0-2.
Didn't appreciate the meme you posted.
Which one?
My Raiders being eliminated.
They are. They're done.
No.
Yeah.
They're fine.
0-2. And they're in the toughest division there is. They play with the Chiefs and the Chargers.
I don't think that division's the toughest division. It's top heavy, but the Broncos suck too. So, you know.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, Dan, you loved the Broncos at the beginning of the season. You thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl. Did you see something different in Russell Wilson that hasn't been there for the last 2 years? Because he's looked like dog shit for the first two games. He's looked like dog shit for the last 2 years.
It's just very unlikable.
I enjoy that his play matches his personality, finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's that offense is not in sync at all, and they're having a hard time protecting him as well.
Jerry Judy's going to be out for a long time.
Yeah. They might be fucked now because, I mean, they have Cortland Sutton still. And Williams is a pretty good running back, but if you can't, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. If you can't keep that motherfucker, I mean, look at the difference between 2021 or 20 and 21 season and then 21-22, how Burrow played with protection and without protection. One, he doesn't even make it through fucking half of the season and gets knocked out. And two, he takes his team to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the difference. That's why offensive linemen are the highest paid non-skill position players. And I don't know what the fuck is going on with these teams that think that they can just have, they can go out and buy
quarterbacks,
all these skill position players and spend $45-50 million on a goddamn quarterback and not have protection for him and think it's all going to work out. Like, it's like, what the fuck?
It's,
man?
Like, you know,
defenses are getting better and better. People like Michael Parsons, you never would have seen a guy like that on defense before. He would have been like Debo Samuel, like a two-way offensive player or something. And now, incredibly, because they're getting paid, right? Mm-hmm. Because of a couple of cornerbacks and a couple of linebackers that have gotten huge contracts in the last couple of years, you're going to see even more of it. You're going to see incredible athletes in swing positions on the defensive side that are going to do shit like this to offenses. It doesn't matter how good your quarterback and your wide receivers are. If you don't have great linemen, you're fucked.
Yeah. If you don't, I mean, it's like trying to win the World Series without a bullpen. Yeah. Right, like you just fucking can't do it. If like literally half of your game is pitched by dog shit players, you're fucked.
I think it's why fucking Brady looks all out of, even in this win, I don't think he looked that great. He looks all out of sorts still. And I think Ryan Jensen, our buddy Ryan Jensen, is out for like fucking six more games or seven more games at least.
Yeah, at minimum.
And he's the center, right? So he's the fucking guidepost for that offensive line. You can tell. I would rather lose. Definitely a running back, but I would rather lose my wide receiver one than lose an important piece of my fucking line, honestly.
Yeah, because, you know, you're seeing it with all these quarterbacks. Everybody who signed a huge deal, essentially besides Pat Mahomes, who, look, even Pat Mahomes had some, that was an iffy game against the Chargers there.
It's great defense.
It was. Chargers have an awesome defense.
And also, he just barely missed out on another touchdown pass. Like, I forget who it was, but someone had a great tackle against Kelsey on like the one to prevent that from becoming a touchdown. He's just playing against like a top, what, two or three defense in the league, probably.
But besides him, all the guys who've been getting $250 million contracts, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, the guy, who's the rapist who's not playing up in
Watson.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's not even playing there. He's got 250 guaranteed. Lamar Jackson wants 250, all guaranteed, the same as Watson, which is why he passed on this
not
contract.
One fucking prayer.
I agree.
Not one prayer. Because he's playing with all the motivation in the world right now and still can't get it done.
No.
To be honest.
And
he had a pretty good game yesterday, didn't he?
Didn't win, but he
dumped in stats. I mean, at some point, it's not Lamar Jackson's fault that they gave up 42 points.
And all of which were mostly in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what else did you want Lamar Jackson to do that game?
Well, I wanted him to win the first game of the season. Or not win, but play better.
Yeah.
Like I don't think he played in the preseason, but he was there the whole time.
Yeah,
he was there.
And also, I'm not giving... The point isn't that he's not performing right now. He's going to put up numbers until he gets banged out of the league, I guess.
Yeah.
But the point is, once those guys get those contracts, like, imagine you have a guy like this is Arizona Cardinals have established themselves as the worst franchise in all of football, in my opinion, because you have a guy who the rub on him is that he doesn't fucking do the work. Right.
Study film. Yeah.
And then you
he's got too much Call of Duty to play.
Yeah. And then what we know from quarterbacks who go out and sign these big deals is usually like their motivation tapers off a little bit, at least in the first year. There's a ratio of how much money you get paid to how poorly you play the next season. Mm-hmm. Usually it picks up towards the end of that season and the end of your sophomore season, end of that contract. But you've got a guy who is notoriously unmotivated, and then you take any possible motivation away by giving him all this guaranteed money. It's fucking stupid.
That's true.
Man.
We should make our quarterbacks be on food stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the fucking soldiers are. Why not?
But, yeah, exactly. but besides Pat Mahomes, exactly. But besides Pat Mahomes, name one of these guys who signed a huge deal where it's worked out. The problem is you're eating up all the fucking money. There's a guy in
drinking. You have to, though. Like, you have no choice. You're
going
to let him go?
But then the rest of your team is going to be shitty. So what is the...
Yeah, but the whole thing is that quarterback is the most important position in all sports, right? So you pay him whatever you ask for.
And okay, but then what are you left with?
Like, and you're kind of like stuck because dudes like Kirk Cousins were signing like $40 million a year deals, and so that just elevated...
Just fuck the market.
Yeah, just the market's all
essentially
inflated.
Everyone's like, I'll be goddamned if you pay me less than Kirk Cousins.
But at what point does that end if you're not going to win? And there's a drinking bro here who just won't shut the fuck up. His name is Caleb Graff. Kalen Graff. And he keeps getting angry that I said Rodgers took all the money and they don't have any wide receivers there. He did, and you don't. You're a fucking running team from now on. You're a goddamn running team. Last night you played the Chicago Bears, and you ran the fucking ball 9,000 times. Aaron Jones, 15 carries, 132 yards. A.J. Dillon, 18 carries, 61 yards. You're a running team now because you have no wide receivers. There was a 55-yard toss at the end of the game to Sammy Watkins. That got him up to 93 yards. The second highest receiver on your team is Aaron Jones at 38 yards receiving. You're a fucking running team now because you took all the fucking money. Aaron took all the money.
Every,
you have no,
every quarterback,
nothing.
There's been one quarterback that hasn't taken the money, and it's Tom Brady.
But here's
that's it.
And he's got
Tom Brady's got seven
titles?
This is what I keep telling these fucking dummies. Like, you can't take all the money if you want to win a Super Bowl.
He could afford it because his wife made more money than he did.
Then go out and marry rich.
You have to. Yeah.
I mean, look, Russell Wilson did. He married Sierra. At least she's got some money. Maybe.
Do you think Tom's going to actually get alimony in the divorce?
Oh, my God.
It'd be great if he asked for it.
It'd be great if he asked for it.
He's the GOAT. Of course he's going to get alimony.
Yeah. Here, so
when does this guy lose?
In 2022 free agency, here are the free agent wide receivers that signed elsewhere, primarily elsewhere. There were a couple that went lateral, but Christian Kirk, Allen Robinson, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who left Green Bay, Zay Jones for less money, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jarvis Landry, who's one of the more... Whatever you got to say about Jarvis Landry, he doesn't drop ball.
No.
Right?
That guy's fucking
solid
as shit.
Green Bay could have signed any of these fucking people, including Marquez, whatever the fuck is
Brown.
Scantling, yeah.
Like,
yeah, not Marquise Brown. I don't think they would have got Hollywood Brown, but... Like they, well, I guess they could have.
They traded for him.
Yeah. But there are a bunch of people out there that they could have gotten, and I don't know why they didn't even make a play for. I mean, maybe they did behind the scenes, but not a serious enough one to get any of the dudes on the team. You know what I mean? Like,
doesn't
why,
make any sense.
Why do you do that?
Do you ever think they have problems getting free agents just to
go to Green
play
Bay.
Green Bay?
And also,
if
you know,
if you're a wide receiver, are you willing to live in Green Bay for 2 or 3 years to play with Aaron fucking
Rodgers?
Yeah,
but do you want to deal with Aaron Rodgers going on a vision quest?
I don't care
all
about
summer long.
I know, but you're going
to
catch the ball.
If I get to catch the ball from the best physically talented quarterback ever, yes.
You can get some,
I mean, goddamn.
You're going to get some, I guess, pretty easy catches where it's just like in your
head.
Like,
how many fucking players in the NBA, even right now, but historically have taken like $5 or $6 million deals or even veteran mid-level exceptions to play on great teams?
James Harden just did it for your beloved 76ers. It took less money to stay to try to win a championship. At what point do these guys fucking wake up and be like, all right, great. I've got to take a smaller contract to get some better guys in there.
I mean, they have that Christian Watson dude's a pretty good receiver. He fucked up on that first play in the first game or whatever, but he's a pretty good receiver. But the you can't tell me. So Allen Robinson signed a 3-year, $46.5 million contract, average annual salary is 15.5. You can't tell me that, because that was with the Rams, who, by the way, have the best receiver in all of football, and they still were able to go out and sign this guy. But Green Bay made no efforts to bring in. They brought in fucking dudes that are like 60 years old.
Is Odell still available?
Yes.
Yes.
Want to get him?
We don't know if he's healthy or not. That's
I don't know.
The problem.
I don't know if.
And I think he probably wants to go back to stay with the Rams.
Probably, yeah.
He lives there.
And I mean, with the crypto like crash,
he should be. He needs a job.
He needs a job.
The question is, though, do you want to risk the dumps on your chest that a Wisconsin diet?
There's a lot of, oddly enough, a lot of really good Thai food in Green Bay. I don't know why.
Okay. Now, but what does he want? Does he want it gnarly or does he want like a neat?
Well, between the Thai food and all the sausage and cheese.
Yeah.
It's going to be all clogged up there.
Yeah, but does he want to, like, clumps, like hard clumps
he
on
wants
his
apple
chest?
Apple milkshake.
You think so?
So it's cheese followed by sausage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No. No, no. He's got to want, like, nice, picture perfect, like, soft serve.
No, I think he wants liquid so he can smear it around.
Yeah, I do too. You don't get into that. You don't get into that kink and hope for hard clumps that bounce off.
No, but it's on the table. It's all about the presentation. See, he was under the glass table.
He's not on his chest.
He's not Instagramming this.
It was on his chest. It wasn't underneath the glass coffee table.
Yeah, but like, some personal photos.
Yeah.
You want to take pride in your kind of camera gallery.
Yeah. Look, the clumps aren't going to do it. That's going to bounce right off. He wants something wet, like Dan said. I agree.
Do you think? Is there any chance that Rodgers just retired? Doesn't he have the opportunity to bail out of this contract after
he does year? So every year he can get out of there and leave if he wants to. I'm not really sure. I mean, look, they won, but it was a very shitty Bears team.
How is Aaron Rodgers gonna feel about winning a Trent Dilfer Super Bowl? Because if they win this year, that's what it's gonna be.
They're not gonna win this year.
I know, but if they win the Super Bowl this year,
It'll
be Packers defense and him as a game managing quarterback.
Yeah, and
it'll
just
still be
team.
Aaron Rodgers, former, like last year, literally won the MVP. He will still get all the credit for winning the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter.
Narratively, he probably will.
Yes.
If it's a 20-17 Super Bowl game and he has a touchdown,
Peyton Manning didn't get the credit
that one. Because Peyton Manning was so objectively bad and washed.
He was like 13 for 19 in that game, wasn't he?
He didn't even start at the end of the regular season. Mm.
And I mean, Joe Burrow was like really bad in the playoffs, and people are like, oh, he's just a winner. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's going to be how the narrative's written. Rodgers wins another Super Bowl, not the defense.
He's not going to win.
What I'm asking is, will he be able to tolerate the style of play it will require for them to win, not the accolades or anything?
Okay.
Shit.
Probably not.
Because he's not done it up to this point, right?
For an introspective person, he sure hates discomfort.
And it's been the rub on him that he doesn't use his running game very well, right?
Mm-hmm.
He
makes, now he's forced to. And if you're a Green Bay fan, you should at least be amped that you have two great running backs who can withstand this load, and you're fine with Dylan and Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, I've got him in fantasy. He's torching
people.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
So at least you have that. So you do have some offense. You have a pretty good defense, but you can't throw the fucking ball anymore. So
I think there's a bigger story going on, and it's the Colts. This is the worst start
I've seen in
a while from Duval.
Matt Ryan is 100 years old.
He's like 36. He's
not
that old.
But he looks real bad.
He looks really old out there.
Pittman's was out for this last game, which is like their biggest weapon, but you don't score any points against Jacksonville.
24-0. Fucking awful. And they looked pretty shitty, and almost like they didn't score a lot of points against the Texans. Like they got late in the game points to make up for, but for most of the game they were
overtime.
They were down 20-3 and then 20-10,
and they're supposed to be able to rely on their fucking defense and run game. The run game is still good, right? You're not going to stop fucking
Taylor. Taylor's great.
Stack the box. You can only do so much with the defense if it's on the field the entire game.
Trevor Lawrence carved them up.
After an even shittier quarterback for the Texans kind of did the same.
Yeah, exactly.
This is fucking Lawrence's line. 25 of 30, 235 yards. That's not great, but two touchdowns, no interceptions, 121.5 rating. Didn't get touched once.
Did he run at all?
He had let me check.
Well, we've had Ballard on the show, Chris Ballard, the GM for the Colts. I sat with him during the Jalen Hurts game. He did not have a lot of pleasant things to say about Jalen Hurts. Didn't believe in any of these quarterbacks to draft. And he keeps going the old man route where it's like, all right, great. We'll get Carson Wentz. Great. We'll get Matt Ryan. Then we'll get another quarterback.
So it seems like he might be bad at evaluating quarterbacks.
Yes, they've got to draft a quarterback here because this isn't it.
No.
What's going on there, man?
But, the defense was particularly bad in this game. They didn't pressure Lawrence at all, and that's kind of what the last, what, 5 or so years, that's what Indy's relied on, is run game and pressuring the quarterback, and they didn't do either one of those things.
No.
In this game.
And second time they've lost at Jacksonville in what, the last 5 months? Because that playoff game was the one that knocked him out.
Well, the last game of the season, right?
Yeah.
All they had to do was beat Jacksonville. By the way,
let's not sleep on Jacksonville this year.
Yeah, let's go ahead and sleep on Jacksonville. Yeah.
So the last three games the Colts have played have been against the Jags, Texans, and Jags, and they've won none of them.
Yep. Yeah, that's not a good sign.
That's the best division in football, right there.
There's a possibility that the AFC East is now the best team or the best division in football.
Who is it?
The AFC East. The Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and then the Jets. Obviously, the Jets aren't good, but the other three...
Patriots
like,
aren't good.
Well, we'll see, right? No. Like, they always manage to, in the middle of the season, solid linebacker play, right, and good scheme will fucking win them 10 games this year. They're going to be 10-7,
probably. But for sure, Finn's up. Apologies to Tua. Make them.
Mel, make the apologies.
Make the apologies.
So I watched this game. We actually had the money line in this game, and then we picked on the show, and we picked the Dolphins to win.
Yep.
Now, we did not know they would be down by 90 in the first half, but then they came back. I'm going to read two of his stats here because these are shocking. 36 of 50, 469 yards, and 6 passing touchdowns for Tua in this game.
You want to talk about some dangerous weapons? Miami.
Holy shit.
Well, Waddle and Hill's stat lines were fucking insane.
They both
insane.
Had 11 receptions. They had 190 and 171 yards, respectively, and 2 touchdowns each.
Yeah. I mean, it was
And to
nasty.
Be honest, here, I can see them doing this against any team in football.
So here's my question. I have both Tua and Pat Mahomes on my fantasy team. I started Mahomes this week because Tua is still Tua. What?
Can you put one of them in the fucking
flex? I mean, like, should I just start going Tua? Should I just start rolling Tua every week?
It depends on the matchup, right?
I mean, right. But I mean, should it be a 50-50, I guess, even, no. Like, depending on who you play?
Trade him. Try to get a great running back at this point. Mahomes is always going to be Mahomes.
Sell high.
Yeah, sell high in this.
Lamar Jackson's stat line. And look, the Dolphins' defense is not that great, but...
It's pretty good.
It's okay. It's like middle third.
It wasn't that good. The other day.
And it wasn't good yesterday.
It's just middle third.
I know.
Yeah.
You guess who had the first half under? This guy.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
That's because the stats said the Dolphins were going to shut down Lamar. They didn't.
It was 28-7 at half in that game. I watched it. Well, 28-7.
Lamar's stats were pretty much perfect, actually. He's 21 for 29, 318 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's a 142.6 rating. He also had 9 carries for 120 yards.
Good
and a touchdown.
Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You can't play better than that.
No.
I watched the game, actually, and the Ravens kept breaking off like long plays for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I think Lamar had like a 75-yard run. He had a 75-yard pass. They returned the opening kick for a touchdown.
He had a 75-yard bomb, dude, that was just like, oh, all right, well, this is happening. The over was super low in this game, too, as well, which was shocking.
Because they 44, I think.
But Miami's got a pretty decent defense. Baltimore's got a pretty decent defense. And then these guys just carved them up.
It's, you know, NFL does this type of shit, too, where it's just like sometimes both teams just go bananas for no reason.
I think the Ravens were up. Yeah, they were up 28-7. And then late, I think closer to the fourth quarter, they were still up 3 touchdowns.
They were up 35-21.
Yeah.
We got off the plane. I got off the plane. And Austin, and was walking to the Austin airport, and like legitimately every bar or whatever area that had a television was just like throngs of people watching the end of that game, going fucking insane. I was like, why is everyone screaming?
It was awesome. By the way, next week's game will be, I think, a true test for Miami to see if they're real or not. They play the Bills, and it's at home. That's going to be, you know, the game of the week. Wish it was later. It's the 1 o'clock game next week, but but that will be the ultimate test. Again, the Bills against Miami, then you can see who the best is in that division and see if Tua is for real, because the Bills have a good defense.
Right now he's tied with two other people for the league lead in touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes obviously, and Carson Wentz.
Oh yeah, Carson Wentz had a great game on Sunday. He had 27 fantasy points. I started him.
Yeah, you lost.
They were
the
going
lines.
Against. They were going against Detroit. Yeah,
they were down 22-0.
Sure,
he keeps digging himself in holes. So these are all garbage time touchdowns.
Does it matter for fantasy? It sure doesn't.
Right now, though, if the MVP vote was held today, Tua would win. Like
well,
going away.
Two, yeah.
What? I mean, it's two games, but he would win going away.
Is he 2-0?
He's 2-0.
And
fins up.
Yeah.
He's 71% completion, 739 yards in two games. That's an average of 370 yards per game and a 116.5 rating.
How many touchdowns? Eight?
Seven touchdowns, two interceptions.
So he had one touchdown game one.
I believe I believe Pat Mahomes has no interceptions, but I got to assume fewer yards.
Quite a bit fewer, yeah. Carson Wentz is actually second with 650.
Yeah, again, we'll find out next week against the Bills. The one that really sank my fucking battleship was this Bucks-Saints game. I had the over on so many fucking parlay cards. God damn it, it was only 37.
I don't know what happened. It's
down to 37.
Weren't the Saints up like 3-0 for the majority of the game, and then
it was
the
3-3
scored like 20 points?
Going into the fourth quarter. Yeah. It was 3-3 at the start of the fourth quarter. Brady doesn't look great. He's 2-0, but he also doesn't have any fucking players.
Slow starter.
Julio Jones hurt again.
Yep.
Week two, this fucking guy is out. I don't understand why he can't stay healthy. Mike Evans just got suspended, by the way, for one game, so he'll be out next week. Godwin is still out. Mm-hmm. He's not playing either. But they're 2-0.
Yeah, so this is going to be an interesting game because they play the Packers are playing at Tampa Bay next week.
No way. Yeah. Let's
so
go.
So it's like probably take the under.
Why is Brady doing this to himself, though? The only reason his wife's leaving him is because he wants to play one more season.
This is what I'm asking. So is it just because of Adam What's-His-Nuts who beat him to, oh, you're retiring, Brady's retiring. And is it just a big fuck you to him?
Adam
Does
Schefter.
He want the money?
He's addicted.
Does he hate being at home?
You can't,
what is it?
Once you leave, you're gone.
Unless
he's got a $375 million deal with Fox. Like, you're fine.
But he's not playing. He's not playing. On the field. Once you leave the field, you never go back. You walk into that fucking corn, you're a ghost again or whatever the fuck. You walk over to save the choking child across the line, which was stupid of that man. He threw away immortality.
Yeah, fuck that kid.
If you can't eat a hot dog, fuck you.
Well, also, you can't stand there and coach somebody on how to do the fucking Heimlich.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And he didn't even do the Heimlich. He smacked her on the back.
Yeah. Not only that, but if you're a parent, you don't know the fucking Heimlich?
She was like 10.
On, dude.
Yeah. You can Heimlich that bitch.
Yeah, you can definitely break her ribs. Yeah,
easily.
Just absolutely but this
That Packers at Bucks game, that's going to be a running game, which is actually bad news for the Packers because they're like the third or fourth worst team against the run in football right now.
Yeah, and Fournette looks strong.
Yeah.
He's looked pretty good this year. I don't know what
Evans
spread's going to be.
Chris Godwin out. Julio Jones out.
Yeah.
So, the fuck? He's throwing a Scotty Miller.
All right, but
Scotty Miller works when he's the slot receiver and nobody knows who he is yet.
And Mike Evans got suspended because of Tom Brady.
Okay, so you're saying that there's going to be a very good Bucs defense and Tom Brady with no receivers. Sounds like how he won like five Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Receivers against no receivers. Then.
Save your marriage. Retire.
It's 2-0. What are you doing?
It's 2-0. Since when are you pro-marriage?
Yeah, dude.
Or pro-Tom Brady, for that matter.
I've always been
Fuck out of here, Eeg.
I love Brady.
Today's show is brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinkin' Bros will double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. You can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere at MyBookie.com. Turn your love of sports into your new side hustle at MyBookie.com. They got a ton of props, parlays. They got a super picker on there, too, where if you pick all the games correctly, you get $250,000, which is amazing. Go to MyBookie.com. Use the promo code Drinkin' Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. It's fine. If you put in 100, you get 100. If you get 200, you get 200. You get the drill. They cap out at a grand. I've already used it. And all of our odds and all of our bets today and in every sports show for the next year will be on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinkin' Bros doubles your deposit all the way up to $1,000. It's that first one. If you lost all your money, you can't go back. Unless you use a different email, but you didn't hear that from me. We're going to go to tonight's games real quick because we got a doubleheader, and I want to get your thoughts and prayers for these teams. I've already bet, so I'll tell you what it is on mybookie.com. So if you're out there, because this goes out immediately, I've taken the Bills. The line is minus 10. I took that down to minus 3 in a teaser, and I have taken the Vikings, who were getting 3 points, so now they're getting 10 points. That is my teaser for the evening. Bills minus 3 and Vikings plus 10. D'Anthony, we'll start with you. Titans versus Bills, minus 10. Who do you got in this one tonight?
I mean, I'll tell you this. I like the minus 3. That's what I'm actually betting. But we're going to see if the Bills' run defense is indeed improved from last year, and that first game wasn't just a fluke.
Because, yeah, they're going to get a heavy dose of it tonight.
Yeah, like Derrick Henry is going to run for 120 probably in this game if they don't lock it down. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think the Titans don't really have any other huge weapons or anything like that. Frankly, you're probably fine at minus 10. They're probably going to win this game by two touchdowns, but it's the NFL, and if they're going to give you a three-point teaser or give you 3 points, take 3 points.
Yeah, right? And to that point, because you know when Urlacher was on the show on Thursday and we went over the spreads, these minus 10s are so fucking difficult to overcome. Green Bay did it last night, but the Rams didn't do it against the Falcons.
Well, no team is playing to win by 10. They're playing to win by one.
Right. One touchdown, right. Yeah.
So you can't count
and
on that
the Bears almost backdoored.
Yeah, they were close.
Oh, did they really? I turned it off. That was such a fucking snooze.
There's no it was fourth and goal, and they got stopped at the one, I think one, right?
No shit. Yep. Wow.
No style points in the NFL. Doesn't fucking matter.
No style points. Who do you got, Delco? Titans versus Bills. Bills minus 10.
I mean, all signs point to the Bills, but it's the NFL, so I'm going to go with the Titans plus 10.
Why don't you just go plus 17 if you're going to do that?
You might have, or 16.
Yeah, are you going to tease?
My bookie's doing sevens.
Yeah, they're doing sevens this year.
I'll just do the 6-point teaser.
Okay, so you're going to do plus 16 in the Titans?
I'll just do the 10. I think they lose by less than 10, so.
Okay.
Or they win. Who cares?
Yeah, you're going to go straight up with the 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about you, Bobby?
It's 10 even.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll buy a half point. Bills 9.5.
Okay.
That's what I would do. They should win. I mean, I've never liked the Titans, never had faith in the Titans.
Me neither.
Ryan Tannehill is absolute garbage.
I want to see the kid behind him. He looked great in the preseason.
Who is it
Willis
behind him
kid?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Malik Willis. I mean, I guess that's the plan eventually. For them, they probably hope sooner rather than later. But, like, Ryan Tannehill.
Didn't they give him Tannehill a bunch of guaranteed money last
year?
They
did.
I mean, he's like
2 years ago.
He's like dollar store Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
It's not so even fucked up.
I'd take Kirk Cousins over
a million times over.
Cousins has Justin Jefferson and fucking Adam Thielen, and there's no receivers in fucking Tennessee. Come on.
Right.
It's that's so not bizarre. The same thing. I remember even watching, like, Tannehill in college, and I know it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but just being like, yeah, he is deeply mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Bills for sure.
Your boy Gabe Davis is out tonight for the Bills. So
it's unfortunate. He's the best receiver on the Bills.
He's really good. He's not even close, but he's a good second.
He's going to take over.
Stephon Diggs is very, very good.
So
is
Gabe.
You know what we haven't seen is a team that was dominant in week one come back and be dominant in week two this year. We haven't seen that yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills let off the gas a little bit.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the Chiefs didn't cover this week.
Yeah.
Next up, and this is strange, and I don't have an answer to this. Everybody's asking, and I don't know. I usually know, but I don't know why there is a game an hour and 15 minutes later on the same fucking network for the NFL. If you're going to do back-to-back Monday night games, why is it spaced out by an hour and 15 minutes?
There's also a bit of a crossover in the TV market because Bills make their way on solo days like Sunday Night Football, Thursday or Monday. They make their way down into the New York and Philly sports market.
Oh,
as
yeah,
well.
That tri-state area.
So this doesn't make a lot of sense.
Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York.
Yeah.
I don't understand it because this next game is Vikings at the Eagles. And this is at both games are, you know, first of all, this one's in Buffalo. The second one's in Philadelphia. I don't understand this at all. This is Eagles minus 3. D'Anthony, who you got in this game?
Well, it was minus 2.5 when I looked not too long ago. So a lot of people are fucking confident the Eagles are going to win this game at home. I'm not. Although I do think they're good. It's hard to bet against Jefferson lately, honestly. I don't really even care about Kirk Cousins that much. Although he is, in the regular season, a good quarterback. You know what I mean? But he's got some fucking weapons over there. Holy shit. Yeah. If this is a good question. Who can you rank the teams with the best offensive weapons? After this week, is Miami 1 with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill?
Texans 2, yes.
Oh, God.
Name one fucking receiver on the Texans.
Brandon Cooks. Only because of the CTE. Right. I wait to see him get killed on the field.
Hey, man, O.J. Howard, tight end. But
yeah. Well, O.J. Howard was a last-minute pickup only because he got cut. And he ended up having two touchdowns the first game. But this is a really great game. The spread is 3 for a reason because this is a toss-up.
Eagles play really good at home. Obviously, that's a good home crowd.
It's a fun home crowd. I enjoy going to Eagles games.
When they're a good team, it's a good home crowd.
Mm-hmm.
When they're a bad team, you know,
well, watch it's not your, just the
watch
crowd.
Out for batteries.
It's the whole city. The whole city goes with the Eagles.
Yep.
If they play well and it's a successful team, it's a good season. The city just has an energy about it that's just. I would argue, or there's probably stats to back it up, that there's less murder.
Well, oh, yeah. there are. So in Wisconsin did this a couple, like back in 2010, I think they did a study. The University of Wisconsin did a study when the Packers lose, domestic violence cases go up by 33%.
No way.
Yep. Not just in Green Bay, in the entire state.
Mm-hmm. Jesus
Christ. And at least, you know, if the Eagles win, you get robbed with a smile on your face.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, honestly, I think the Vikings are going to win this game. Just gut feeling.
Yeah.
They have so many goddamn offensive weapons.
What do you got, Delco?
Fly, Eagles, fly. Come on.
Minus three?
The Vikings are a loser franchise.
That's true.
Loser.
That's true.
That's true, but this is the regular season second game of the year.
But it is a big game, and they typically lose the big games.
Is it a big
prime time? Yeah. Kirk Cousins is not very good.
Well, we'll find out. Neither is Jalen Hurts, so
He's pretty good.
It's a fucking real hard game to pick. That's why I jacked this up to 10. So you're going Eagles on this minus three.
Kirk Cousins is 2-9 in Monday Night Football game. So I'm going to change and say.
I took the 10 points.
But I think he's like 2-0 recently because he started out like 0-9.
He did,
On, let me look.
Yeah.
I'll go Vikes.
You're going Vikings on this
Vikings
money line?
I like the Eagles, but yeah, Vikes money line. Okay. I think the Vikings win this.
That's what my gut is telling me too. I've already bet it, so I can't go back. But
He's won his last two in 20 and 21, but they were both against the Bears.
Yeah, that doesn't really count.
Although they were both in Chicago, so.
Nah.
Both on the road. All right, fine. I'm staying with the Vikings.
Delco, you're going Eagles?
Yeah.
You're going Moneyline Vikings. I've already made my bet. Again, I've teased this up to 10 and taking the Bills down to 3 in that one. And I want to enjoy both games. Now I'm going to go back and forth. The even odder thing about this is one's on ABC. The other one is on ESPN. And then the Eagles game is also available on ESPN Plus. So I guess if you want to flip back and forth on the app, you have the ability to do that.
They just want to have the entire country on Disney apps all night, basically. Yes.
That's what they're doing.
Maybe that's a marketing strategy then.
Just an hour and 15 minutes apart?
Do they have... Look, so watch both broadcasts and see if there are overlapping advertisements. If there are, then you know that Disney's up to something.
I want the local...
I will. Disney Plus.
I want the local call with Merrill Reese. I don't want to listen to ESPN announcers.
No, they suck.
You never want to.
No. This year is Aikman and Joe Buck naked.
But who do we get? There's two games.
I know. Yeah. I don't know who we're getting in the other game.
One of them is ESPN Plus.
I wonder if it's the Mannings. What if the Mannings showed up on the other game? That'd be fun.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
Can I harp about something real quick?
Good.
Can we get DeAndre Ware off TV on Friday nights? I'm sick of watching Louisville games with DeAndre Ware.
Yeah, it was. He's not great.
What was his? He was.
I bet the shit out of that game. Then I took FSU minus three,
and it was not looking very good for a long time.
Well,
it was.
Louisville ended up being Louisville, and it was great. Yeah. But speaking of which, we're going to flop on over to college football here. Go over the weekend's games. Not a lot of great college games this weekend. Did watch that Georgia game. Fuck, they're good. I mean, God damn it!
It might be better than
it's
last
Georgia
year.
And everybody else.
It
right
is,
now,
dude,
including Alabama.
Sucks.
By the way,
yes, Alabama. Look, they played, you know, University of Louisiana, Monroe there, 63-7, who gives a shit. But Georgia, 48-7 out South Carolina. They typically have a problem at South Carolina for whatever reason, and they did not this
time. I can tell you why. So what the difference is this year is that Spencer Rattler was involved. And so that's
South Carolina. You know what happened?
What?
They had that Title IX thing, so all the female athletes at South Carolina ruined the rhythm of Shane Beamer's offense at the end of the half.
Yeah.
No.
Before he threw a 5 yard short of the sticks pass on fourth down.
Yep. Yep.
It really made a difference.
Yeah. 100%.
Rattler had 118 yards passing total.
Oh, he's terrible.
So is
he
terrible? I
thought he would be better than what they
Georgia,
had last year.
Is the Georgia defense just that?
No, Rattler stinks.
Both.
Rattler's bad.
I mean, Rattler is god awful, but the Georgia defense, I mean, like, they had to be, like, just licking their lips. Like, I mean, like, fuck, dude. That is just, you might as well put me in at quarterback and just, like, let the Georgia defense be like, oh my God, we're going to murder this person.
Murder Bob, yeah.
It's fucking, Rattler is dog shit. But Georgia is the best team in the country by a wide margin.
I agree. Ohio State rolled 77-21 in that game. CJ Stroud finally came to life again. Game fucking three, way to go.
I don't know, threw it like 20 passes, right?
22 for 27, 5 touchdowns, yeah. 400 yards. I mean,
they didn't really need him that much, to be honest.
Florida. No, but Toledo is, look, they always put up a fight for some reason. They definitely did not in this one.
Florida squeaked one out against USF.
Oh, yeah. I love the quarterback of USF. Remember I talked about him last year?
Different quarterback.
Oh, it is?
It's Gary Bouquet. No, Bohannon. From the quarterback that took Baylor to a New Year's Six Bowl. I don't know why he went to USF.
I don't know either.
Why he got forced out of Baylor. But okay.
I think he wanted to be closer to mediocrity.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. But, yeah. Probably. Yeah. Probably. A lot of people are asking if Michigan is real this year. We don't know yet. They won 59-0. They've played three Division II schools, if you include Hawaii there. They played UConn, Hawaii, and then some other fucking weird school. We won't know until they actually play someone, and I'll look at the schedule here. Next week, Maryland. Maryland's 2-0, I think, right?
Maryland's not good.
They're not that good.
I mean, they cover them.
They beat SMU, which is a good win. It was at home, but beating SMU is not nothing. Basically, we're going to find out who Michigan is just based on the score of the game.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Maryland's offense is all fluff. Like, Michigan's going to shut them down.
Probably. Yeah. And that's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's what you want. So if it's a dominant game by Michigan, then it's like, okay, well, they can handle the next step up, and we'll see what goes on from there. But Michigan's got kind of like a fucking baby dick soft schedule, so
they do. And so they face Ohio State at the end. They do have Penn State though.
They're
moving up the rankings.
I think that was the surprise of the weekend, was how good Penn State looked.
They fucking smashed Auburn, dude.
Yeah. Auburn does stink, but it's a good win.
Afternoon game at Auburn. It was Auburn's, hot as fuck.
Auburn's still, you know, probably got 10 NFL players on that roster type of situation. So yeah, I mean, winning at there is legit.
Penn State has moved up to number 14 this week.
What happened with Michigan State? They got blown up. I mean, not just the score of the game, but the fact that they gave up 40 fucking
Washington's
points.
Washington's good.
I was going to say, this is a question for you guys for outside the top 25 show. How good is Washington? Because none of us really know.
Well, they're not going to be outside the Penix top 25 after this.
Yeah, okay. Penix is a legitimately good quarterback.
He was throwing dimes.
Yeah.
He looked better than he did at Indiana.
I mean, if you remember, he gave Ohio State quite a scare.
He was a great quarterback. I think you remember a couple weeks ago, we were talking about him on the show. It was like, is that his brother? And then you guys said he transferred.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me because he was leading them at Indiana, and they were fucking tough, dude, week in and week out.
Washington's a better program, though.
It is a better program than Indiana, for sure, historically and now, even when Penix was there.
But he's really good, dude. He was good against Ohio State, too.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is that Michigan State is still ranked higher than Washington.
In the coaches' poll.
Oh, yeah, in the coaches' poll.
Not in the AP.
Yeah, which is hilarious. Fuck, man. Washington.
That's how pointless the coaches' poll is, by the way. They ranked Michigan State ahead of Washington.
Yeah. Who, I think Washington undefeated, too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yep.
Yeah. And Michigan State's now 2-1. I never was high on Michigan State this year.
No.
Washington, we'll see. Could be an interesting Pac-12 dark horse.
Them. USC.
They'll lose their next game.
Probably.
And my Beavs.
Yeah, your Beavs.
Well, we're gonna
clash. You've got to go blonde
this weekend.
There's no clashing this weekend. There's no fucking way. It's not going to happen. Clemson rolled. We don't know who the fuck they are yet, though, until they play somebody decent. Now, this next game is super interesting because Dan and I said Oklahoma would absolutely fucking destroy Nebraska. Mm-hmm. You guys had screamed Nebraska money line, and I heard that in my head as I was watching this game.
First 5 minutes, it was looking great.
Yeah.
7-0, Nebraska.
Came out with all the energy.
Maybe blew their load a little too early. Yeah, it's not a bad bet just because they're playing at home. It's a tough place to play, plus they're like
old rivals.
You never know if it's going to be like an unrealized resurgence or if it's just going to be they shit the bed. It turns out it was a little bit of both.
Yeah. I also have almost as little faith in Dylan Gabriel as I do in Spencer Rattler.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will say, I knew things were going off the rails for Nebraska when Dylan Gabriel broke off like a 70-yard run, which he never does because he's pretty slow. He's not really fast. But when he plays a real team, that's when he'll come out.
I think Texas is going to buttfuck Oklahoma this year.
I do, too. I think Texas is going to destroy Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think it's going to be bad.
I watched this game, and I was very, very impressed by Oklahoma, and in particular their coach, Venables. They lost a shit ton of people, and they're fucking murking everybody right now.
He brought some guys.
Who's everybody?
Clemson.
Who's everybody other than Nebraska? Who's everybody? And I know we were high on Nebraska.
You guys fucking, you picked them to win the Big Ten.
The Big Ten stinks.
And they can't win even a fucking power game.
We said Big Ten West, first off.
Jesus
the
Christ.
The Big Ten at this point is just Michigan, Ohio State, and I guess Penn State. Like, nobody else matters.
Three teams, though. What more do you want?
That's tough.
It's more that there's no middle.
Yeah.
There's no middle.
Purdue loses to Syracuse this week. Fuck the Big Ten.
Like, there's the SEC at least has, like, a middle. There's no middle in the Big Ten. It's three powers.
The SEC is eventually just going to be Division I football and everything else. They'll add Ohio State. They'll add Clemson. And then everybody else will just be.
Yeah, Ohio State touches an SEC state.
No,
so.
They've already signed USC and UCLA. So my guess is they'll probably pick up more. SEC will pick up more, and you'll be down to two by the end of this. That's my
guess. UCLA looked pretty good for the Big Ten this week.
What were they?
Squeets went out against fucking South Alabama.
I didn't watch the game. Is UCLA even ranked?
No. But they're undefeated.
But before this week, they had been murdering teams.
Well, you don't take UCLA for football. You take them for basketball. Yeah.
Well, no,
then USC you take for football, and they've been destroying
and basketball
everybody.
Too.
Yeah.
UCLA's got some. They've got a lot of athletes, but we'll see how it works out for them.
You know, DTR is not great. I'll say that.
USC has been absolutely fucking destroying people this year. They keep looking great, moving up.
To be fair, Jake Haner got hurt for Fresno.
It doesn't matter.
He's their franchise quarterback.
45-17. It doesn't. I mean, you're not close.
That's a close game until he got hurt.
You're not close in that game. I mean, Jesus, dude.
Haner's going to be a legit NFL quarterback.
Williams might win the fucking Heisman. Put money on him at the beginning of the year. Kentucky beats Youngstown State. You're fine there. Arkansas didn't look that great this week.
No.
And they got a huge game.
They should have lost.
They have a huge game this Saturday at Jerry World. And I wonder if they win. They play Texas A&M on Saturday. It's a great game.
It seems like a lot of mental mistakes with them, to be honest.
They were
like if you look at the stat line, you're like, oh, they should have won by 30 points. And then you look at the game, you're like, oh, that's not good.
It was Petrino's return.
It was. People had neck braces on in the stands. You see it?
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Dude, this was fated to happen. It was going to be a close, embarrassing game.
Oof.
Petrino, game. I wish Missouri State would have won. That would have been hilarious. But
Arkansas has 3 turnovers and 6 penalties in that game against Missouri State, which I believe is a fucking
FCS
school.
Also, though,
like, you can't turn, if you're a fucking D1 team, especially the 10th ranked one in the country, you can't fucking have 3 turnovers against a team like
Missouri State, powerhouse FCS school.
I will say that
they always make the playoffs.
Yeah. I will say that I don't think 6 penalties is that bad. Were they personal fouls?
Six penalties against this team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you should play an immaculate game against a team like
Division
that.
Division II
school. And the thing that kind of, like, busted it open was the punt return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they
like bad special teams. I mean, 6 is not horrible, but it's not what you want.
Right.
And you certainly definitely don't want 3 turnovers against an FCS team. Like, you can't. Those are mental mistakes.
I wonder what the penalties were, because I could see them being lazy against an FCS team and getting called for holds or some shit like that. Or like, you know, God forbid, the thing that makes me want to, like, immediately strip a scholarship from a player, which is a block in the back on a punt.
Yeah.
Yeah. they were down most of this game, came back, scored 21 in the fourth quarter, ended up winning 38-27. Michigan State got blown out. This score was nowhere near as close as it ended up.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 2 touchdowns at the end and made it 39-28. But, I mean, this game was a blowout the entire game.
Honestly, Michigan State should be out of the top 25 after that game, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
They're in on name.
I agree. The biggest shocker, though, was BYU just getting fucking destroyed
by
Oregon.
Why is that a shocker? It's fucking the Pac-12, man.
Oregon's good, but they just break. I mean, Georgia's that much better than everybody else.
Okay.
Oregon is solid.
Yeah, Oregon's probably the fifth, should be somewhere between 11 and 15, based on
But, like, Georgia's just going to do that to everybody.
But this game, at one point, was 34-7. That's when I shut it off, and I was shocked by
good
it.
Good Bo Nix.
BYU is number 12. Bo Nix fucking rocked.
Can pick apart the right teams. You know what I mean? But Bo Nix has his games. He also has his games like the Georgia game.
Yeah.
It just really depends.
Biggest bust of the weekend was this Miami-Texas A&M game.
My
God, it was awful to watch.
But A&M rolls back after the most exciting thing of the weekend, App State. With the Hail Mary win.
That was a blast. An absolute fucking blast.
They need to calm down, because they're going to fucking destroy the entire town if they keep winning.
So.
By far the 3 most exciting games of the season.
They're the most exciting team in college football right now. That Hail Mary was incredible. I don't think I've ever seen it where it got tipped back to the five and then homeboy caught it and then ran around the end. It was amazing. We lost some money on that.
I think the last time it happened, I remember Mitch Trubisky throwing like a fucking Hail Mary that Kevin White catches in the Bears. I think it was a playoff game, but he got stopped at the one. So it was kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was the last time I saw
it. It was fun. The rest of the games, Baylor ended up winning. Florida, man, this Richardson kid, they have figured out. They're in fucking trouble this year. That they could have easily lost this game to South Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Teams have figured out Richardson. That is the only player that is any good on this team.
I like Travis Etienne's little brother, but
it's unfortunate for Utah. If Utah played him, I think, week four, week five.
Yep.
It's a totally different game.
Yep. Even if it's still in the swamp.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think Utah would have won that game if it's week five, I don't know, by 10, 14 points.
It's going to be a bad, bad loss, though, for Utah, because Florida's not going to be in the top 25 by the end of
but
the year.
But this is just what they do. They always shoot themselves in the foot early on.
Yeah, the one that fucked us was this UTSA game.
It was a good game.
It was a good game.
For three quarters.
It was a good game. They were up to 17. UTSA was up 17-7.
They were aggressive. They were onside kick up 10-7.
Fucking awesome. And then it all fell apart.
But at some point, you know, you're behind and there's enough pressure on you that you make a mistake. That's just how it goes. And you throw a pick six at the end like that. I thought they were going to backdoor cover, but
Bijan Robinson ended up ripping off a huge fucking, I think, 78-yard run in there for a touchdown. And they ended up winning it.
I guess Quinn Ewers is just coming back like pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Credit to Texas, I will say, and I don't like to give credit to Texas. This is the first team I've seen them have in a very long time that has like any like fight in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like any like.
How many Mac Brown teams had fight?
Or Charlie Strong or fucking Tom Herman? Like,
yeah. Well, Charlie Strong was making them better men.
Right. Yeah.
Of course. It's not about football.
No. Often not on the field.
Speaking of Herman, Herm Edwards is out at Arizona State.
Fired. He's gone.
And under investigation for recruiting violations.
Sure is.
No surprise there, I guess.
Sorry to the ladies at Arizona State. We love you guys.
They flipped. Guys, Arizona's kind of on the come up now.
Yeah.
Pitt took care of Western Michigan. Penn State again looked good at Auburn.
Yeah,
I mean, Auburn's not a very good team, but, you know, at some point, this is a SEC team, like we were talking about. This is a middle of the road team. You got to handle your business against guys like that. Yep. And they did it, so we'll see.
Right? And it was a tough road game, too, in that, like, the crowd showed out. Like, even though it's a down year for Auburn, like, they, you know, that's a tough place to play.
Yep.
That Liberty Wake Forest game was as advertised, man. We told you not to touch that. Wake Forest ended up coming back to win that game.
Liberty's got a fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was stupid.
Reverse pass?
Liberty,
what are you doing?
Liberty should. They're going to find their way into a Power 5 conference at some point because they play the middle of the road and lower tier Power 5 conference teams and beat them.
They might be in the Big 12.
They have money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Who does?
It's only going to get better from
now. And if the Big 12 took BYU, they already have Baylor, two very sketchy religious institutions.
All the institutions with religious.
All the religious fundamentalists. Now we just need a fucking, like a Sunni Islam school that plays football or some
all
shit.
Of you. You're like tarnishing my Big 12 finals.
Fuck off.
Give us Grand Canyon too. Why not?
I hate you.
Yeah, it'll be all of them.
Bring back Trump University.
It'll be all your... Exactly, dude. Let's get Trump University in there and have some fun. Boxing. There was actually a huge match over the weekend.
Triple G.
Triple G. Canelo. Lost to Canelo. He's 40, though.
He's 40.
I mean, look, I thought Triple G won the first two fights. Me personally,
Triple G won the first fight. Draw on the second fight.
I don't do draws.
You don't do draws?
No. Right. I had... Triple G winning the first two, and then I thought Canelo won, you know, pretty easily. So did everybody else.
Canelo,
that was
probably
the first time they got it right.
He might have swept them. Like, it was pretty close to a sweep. It was almost 12-0. Triple G might have won one or two rounds.
Yeah. That was easy. That was an easy one. But I think the first two went to Triple G.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's going to keep fighting after this. Why would you, I guess? I don't know where Canelo goes.
Triple G. Canelo made 45 mil on this fight.
Sure did.
I think he
made like 20.
Yeah. He made 20. Yeah. Big boy salary.
You know.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck it.
I mean, if somebody's going to pay you that much to fight one dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where does Canelo go after this?
He's got a few opponents. I mean, he's got a like, I guess if he wants to go back up and wait, he can kind of try to get that loss back from his last fight.
I don't think he can go and beat that guy, though. That's too big.
He's, I mean, he, remember when he was fighting Floyd at, how was that, like 140? 140?
Yeah, I think it was 145. Yeah.
Now, I mean, he fought at 170 beginning of the year. So he's at 160 here. He fluctuates weight too much. You can't do that. Weight classes exist for a reason.
Exactly. That's why I said, where does he go from here?
And like, Triple G has fought at 160 his whole career.
Yeah.
So like he never fucks with that.
No, and he's 40. So he's kind of done after this. He'll probably have one or two more fights and that's it. But for Canelo, that's probably still your biggest star in boxing. And I don't know what you do with him now. Because the fights really aren't fun anymore.
Yeah, but you also don't really need another name.
Which one?
Yeah, Joshua Fury. That's the biggest thing to look forward to in boxing.
Yeah, but Canelo can just fight anyone and people will watch it.
But I think
he has a huge built-in audience base. Like, I wouldn't say he's by far like the representation of boxing right now. Like, Usyk, I think, is probably your biggest star in boxing.
No.
As far as draws, Canelo sold out. We were there.
Yeah, he draws a giant Mexican crowd. If you're talking like what's moving boxing forward, like where are you watching like boxing? You're watching the heavyweights right now.
Right, Usyk is probably one of the three best boxers in the world right now.
He could be top five best boxer in the world, arguably.
Yeah, could be. The Fury Joshua doesn't really excite me. I think Fury destroys Joshua. I don't think that's a close fight.
He gets the UK off its feet. Everyone starts partying. People get to talk shit. You get the Gypsy King back. You put the Gypsy King in anything, and it fucking sells.
I mean, it's gonna sell, but you know Joshua's performances lately. Didn't he wore shit that was too heavy one time and his legs were tired or something?
No, that was the other guy.
That was Wilder.
Yeah.
Joshua's performances lately haven't been thrilling, but everybody knows.
And he's lost. Hasn't Joshua lost his
last fight? He lost to fucking Ruiz.
Yeah, but
people lost to Ruiz.
We got that win back.
People love Tyson Fury, though. He's just like a likable dude. So,
yeah.
You know, you match that with being a heavyweight, which is something that, you know, it's always been attractive to boxing fans.
But like, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm like a big boxing fan, but
I'd watch
that one. When you have the big, those are the names in the sport right now. Yeah. You're going to tune in for that. You're going to tune in for Canelo. You're going to tune in for Joshua. You're going to tune in for Tyson Fury.
But Canelo doesn't have a dancing partner. Only the heavyweights have dancing partners.
Correct. And that's where shit gets tricky because I don't know how you boost the sport. I saw Spence signed on to fight Crawford. I think that's a good fight. They're both undefeated.
I think Crawford beats him.
I do too. And I think that's a good fight. I'll watch that, but I don't know what else I would watch. I'm not paying for Fury versus Joshua.
It's a boring, dirty, corrupt sport, and the only reason the purses are that big is because it's so freaking corrupt. Who cares? They're going to watch you build a fighter for 30 fights, fighting bums, and then he gets beat up by a champion.
Tomato cans.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah. Well, they make a ton of money. If you have that choice or going in the UFC... You choose boxing if you can do it.
I want to see.
They don't. The world's best fighting athletes are fighting in the UFC.
I understand, but they all want to go to boxing now because they're not getting paid.
Afterwards, they got to prove that they are the best in the world and they're the baddest man, and then they'll go make money.
I don't understand looking at the box office totals why you wouldn't just become a boxer versus a UFC fighter.
It's ingrained inside you. There's something about being the BMF, being the baddest man in the cage, and like, there's nowhere to train that hard if you don't really want it.
Also, a lot of the UFC fighters, like, they couldn't fucking hold a candle to any of these boxers with their hands.
No, it's a sport.
It's a way different sport.
I'm glad you brought it up because we got Jake Paul going against Silva. Who do you have in this one, Giorgio?
I mean, currently Jake Paul is the opening betting odds favorite.
But not by much.
Put where your money where your mouth is.
But that's because everybody's betting on Jake Paul.
Anderson Silva is the
GOAT. He opened as the favorite, so.
Yeah, he did. But I mean, everybody's money went on Jake Paul immediately because of Silva's age. Who wins that fight?
Anderson Silva wins that fight.
Yeah, Silva wins the fight.
Okay.
Derails the train. It's going to really fuck up Nate Diaz's paycheck.
It might end it. I think this might be the end of the train.
I'm pretty sure it ended last fight when he got 45,000 pay-per-view buys.
Yeah.
That was that was the end of the hype. Now this may be the end of the interest.
You
don't want to
see Woodley for a second
time. You don't want to see Woodley put his arms down by his side and just take a shot to the fucking face?
Right.
That was not a real fight.
It was fun.
No one will ever convince me that was a
real fight.
Jake
Paul's undefeated.
The second fight.
He's a champion.
Second one.
I thought the second one, they just kind of like wrote it out. I forget.
No, the second
it doesn't matter. It's about as real as that time a raccoon ate Tyron Woodley.
But I mean, Silva's beaten like a legit boxer. Well, not really a legit boxer, but like
I'll say Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is pretty legit.
Yeah, But I mean, Silva's older, but yeah, he's still in great shape. One of the best strikers in the world.
I feel like Jake's going to have a hard time hitting him. That's all I'm saying.
He's going to have a hard time hitting him. And he's big. Anderson's long. Big.
Long. Different weight class. A 185 pounder. He's been fighting 170 pounders.
I would like to see Jake get knocked out.
Well, I think a lot of people would, which is why people are going to watch this. Do you pay for this fight?
No.
I do.
With the company card, yeah.
Yeah. But I do.
I assume you make me work it.
work it, but is it worth it?
Right.
Put that thing down, flip it, and reverse it. Yeah.
Speaking of that, next Wednesday, Jonathan Kite's coming on the show.
Is he really?
He's
one of my faves, dude.
Missy Elliott as Sam Elliott is one of the funniest things I've ever
heard. That was fantastic. As soon in the middle of him doing that, I could not literally write down fast enough to clip that.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, yep.
He's been workshopping it. I think it's in his act now.
It is.
He's one of the best. Yeah. But back to that fight. I hope Jake wins, and then I hope Jake fights Nate
Diaz.
Yeah.
He's going to fight his brother eventually. That's about it. Maybe he fights KSI. Like, if they can build some KSI drama, that would be a big...
But none of this matters if Anderson beats him, because, like, no one
sure doesn't
care.
Well, it also doesn't, like... What, no matter what happens, if he ends up fighting Nate Diaz, and this is what I think, this is why the Mike Tyson fight never materialized either. I think that camp needs whomever they're fighting to play ball. And you think Nate Diaz is going to take a shot to the face?
No.
There's no amount of, you could offer Nate Diaz a gajillion, all the money in the world, all of it. And he gets to fuck primetime Sienna Miller. As much as he wants for the rest of his life, she never ages. He still would not take a dive.
That guy's a fucking
maniac. I don't think he's capable of taking a dive.
Like, mentally, he's not capable. My buddy,
his
lights
will never turn off.
Our buddy Kit Cope is one of his trainers.
Yeah, he's one of his trainers.
Kit's like the four-time kickboxing champion of the world. He's one of the best fighters of all time. He just came before actually made any money, unfortunately. But
so he trains.
He trains him.
Yeah,
this dude
still don't make money.
No. But this dude is a fucking maniac.
And also, why do people not go into boxing? Brain damage.
Yeah,
significantly more brain damage.
There's a lot
than
more.
UFC.
There's like 8 or 9 boxing deaths per year. There's never been a death in MMA.
Never.
Not once.
Not in the UFC.
Well, we can hope. Like, I want to see it. Obviously, that'd be awesome. But with Nate Diaz, by the way, there was a story. I know you're a big podcast guy, Giorgio. Shane Gillis told a story about hanging out with Nate Diaz. Did you happen to see it?
I did not. I've never been a Nate Diaz fan in any shape, sort.
Really?
Over the entire the entire time I have been watching any kind of mixed martial arts, I have never once been a fan of Nate.
He doesn't seem like a good hang, right? So, like, I feel like you'd be walking on eggshells the entire time you hang out with him.
So Shane Gillis said he's exactly the Nate Diaz you want to hang out with. He said at one point, like, a fan got too aggressive and he front kicked him. He said the entire night was just so fucking out of control and so Nate Diaz that he's like, I love him. That's exactly who I hope to party with for the entire night. And he's everything that you think goes on behind the scenes is his entire life. And he goes, it's fucking chaos.
I know.
Every second of the day.
You say one wrong joke and he's like choking you out.
Yeah, he front kicks somebody.
Now I need this fight.
Yeah.
So do I.
Now I need this fight.
Now I need it too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think Jake is going to agree to a fight that
he could lose. And by the way, think about this
too.
What
about Silva though? Because I don't think Silva would take a dive.
No, and he's being respectful to Silva, which is new for Jake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Logan wasn't even respectful to fucking Floyd.
Mm. Well, that's all like and manufactured Jake, bullshit.
Right.
But Silva is not somebody.
Anderson's a legend.
He's not one to be fucked with either.
Floyd's got a lot of like baggage that you can fuck with.
The thing to remember too about the Paul brothers is that like they literally got their start doing like prank videos and shit.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're literally professional liars.
Trolls.
Yeah. Trolls.
On to baseball. Two big. We're in a pennant race here. Blah, blah, blah. That's all interesting. We'll talk about that more on the baseball show. But
I am excited about what is happening in baseball for the first time in years.
Pools is at 698.
Well, to be fair, you weren't alive for the World Series last year.
That's true.
Pools is at 698. I think they've got like 14 or 15 games left.
Yep.
Good shot to hit 700.
Yes.
Judge yesterday hit 58 and 59.
That guy, have you seen a fucking streak like the one he's on right now? He is on a heater.
Well, he's
hitting 500 this
month. Yeah, he's got 11 multi-home run games this year, which is tied for all time, right? So if he has another 200 home run game, he'll break that record as well.
What's he got to get to, 73?
No.
No.
Nope.
61.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 154 games, which means he not just for him, 154 team games, yep. which also means you have to stay healthy. But
would you credit him with the record or some sort of like, okay, that is equal to or better than Maris if he ends up hitting however many home runs he would need to hit? Obviously, it'd be over 61. That would also equate to more like, you know, a better homer rate than Maris.
Maris, I think, played, what, 158 games that year or something
four,
like that?
154. That was the season. The season was 154 games.
No, the reason Maris has an asterisk next to the 61.
Oh, because he had 162. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think, hold on, let me check. I don't think he played all 160. No, he played 161 that year. So,
okay.
Not my king. Even if he hits 62.
So Aaron Judge has eight more games with the Yankees before they hit the 154 mark this year. So he's eight games to hit two home runs, and in my opinion, that will be the record.
Yes, right? Same.
The old record, the pre-World War II record. And then if he hits 62 before the end of the season, then he has the record outright, in my opinion.
Same.
Maris was on Greenies.
But I love... Oh, yeah, he was. They were
was
all,
he really?
Yeah, they're all on... Well, I mean, he was also telling me that fucking,
on Speed.
Are you telling me that fucking Judge isn't on Adderall like everybody else?
Right. I don't know. That also, Speed doesn't really help you, though.
Yeah, sure it does.
No.
Helps your vision. What are you talking about?
Also, Maris was on two packs a day of Marlboro Reds. So.
That's true, and his hair was falling out.
Yeah,
but do you really need to run when you hit dingers?
And Coca-Cola. You're drinking bottles of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola.
He's just a fucking dumb Midwestern guy.
He was an absolute just like
I like
hick.
61 as a movie.
Yeah, it was great.
61 is the great. Most underrated baseball movie that exists.
And really by the way, good. I'm not hating on McGuire, Bond, Sosa, A-Rod, or whoever the fuck else. Like, hit home runs, dude. I love that shit.
Yeah.
But as far as the record book goes, I feel like there should be two.
Yes. What did Griffey get to? 56?
He
hit mid-50s.
I thought it was 59, and he was just shy of 60. I remember as a kid, I think they were cutting back and forth trying to watch him hit 60, I think.
His high was 56. He did it 2 years in a row.
Oh, shit.
My goat.
I was wrong then.
Griffey did.
It was the Mandela effect for me.
So 49, fuck. 56, 56, 48, and 40. That's a five-year period for King Griffey Jr.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the 600 club.
Prettiest swing there is.
Albert's trying to leave.
Man, definitely didn't do steroids because he did not work out.
Not only did he not work out, but when he hit like 34, it was like,
oh,
he should have. Like if he had done steroids, he would have hit 800 home runs.
Yep. Oh my god, probably more.
Same but with his body
cracked 1,000.
Same with Pujols.
Yeah,
Pujols had just been like juicing.
Because fuck it, if you remember Griffey, like his third year, I think when he was 37 or 38 with the Reds, he was like falling asleep in the dugout and shit. And everyone's like, dude, what the fuck? He's like, I've already hit 600 home runs. What the fuck do you want? From
do we have a list of who's going to be there on Monday?
Monday where?
That's golf tournament.
Lauren's in the chat right now. She can tell you.
Is maybe. Griffey going to be there? He's a golfer.
Oh, he might be. I don't know.
I know Johnny Damon's going to be there.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
I know Griffey does a lot of these.
We'll be able to ask Johnny Damon though straight up because you know, look, he played with all of those guys. Mm. He'll tell you which is more impressive.
You know, there's 12 players in Major League Baseball history that have 200 or more home runs and 400 or more steals, right? And Johnny Damon is one of them.
Yes.
And he also has like 2,900 hits.
Yeah.
Like he's. Probably should be in the Hall of Fame, to be honest.
Yes. How many World Series?
Two,
I think. He won one with the Red Sox and one with the Yankees, right?
Yeah. 2009. I don't know how integral he was to the 2009 Yankees. Yeah. Well, when did he leave the Red Sox? Because he might have two with the Red Sox. Because he won in 04. Was he on the 07
right after?
Yeah, I think he might have won the Yankees in like 06.
It was 04 and 06 that they won, right?
04, 07.
07?
He wasn't on the second team.
I don't know. He won two World Series, though.
Okay.
2009, he hit. He was with the Yankees in
2009. I just remember Johnny Judas.
24 home runs, 82 RBI, 282 in 2009.
Cut his hair, didn't have a beard. It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. But he won another title. Yeah. Good for him.
Great player.
I'm with you, though. Judge, to me, should be the all-time record holder. I want to see it happen.
If he gets
for that
there.
Exact reason.
Yep.
Well, he should. He's on 59, right?
Sure, but, you know, weirder things have happened.
Yeah.
That's true. How many games do the Yankees have left?
Hold on.
15, 16.
They should intentionally walk him every time.
Well, they started to the other night. 15, it started to get Bonds-ish.
That Bonds season was ridiculous. Go back and look at that.
Yeah, like 232 walks.
I
think his on base percentage was like pushing six or something like
that. I saw him play 10 games in person that year. And it was, I've never seen like it. You knew every time that he came up, it was gone. Like
anytime
the ball was
they actually
gone.
Pitched to him, he hit a home
run. It was fucking gone. Dude,
Yankees
every
have 16
time.
Games left. So he hits two in the next eight games. That's 61 and 154 or less. And if he hits three in 16 games, then he's the all-time.
So he's got about 64 to 70 at-bats left.
Yeah. He usually hits a home run. This year, it's about every, like, 8.9 at-bats, something like that.
But the other thing I want to ask you two about is what's more impressive, the record or the fact that he's 1 point average-wise behind winning a Triple Crown?
I don't know.
When's the last time that's been done?
Miguel Cabrera did it.
Not that long ago. I was going to say Miggy maybe. Doing it recently.
But before Miggy, it had been since that.
Well, I think it wasn't that recently. It was like 2011, right?
Or 12. It was 2012 or 13.
He took it from Trout. About baseball, yeah.
He took it from Trout. Yeah. Or he took the MVP from Trout. Because even though Trout had the better year, Miggy won the Triple Crown. And it was just like, you can't not give the MVP to the Triple Crown winner. That said, before Miguel Cabrera, Yaz hadn't done it since, it hadn't been done in the AL since the 70s. Kari Stremski did it, I think.
Yeah.
And then still hasn't been done in the NL since the 1920s.
Yeah, 1967 for Yastrzemski, I believe.
Okay.
And it hasn't been done in the National League, yeah, since.
I think Rogers Hornsby?
Hornsby with the Cardinals, yeah, I think 1928.
Yeah, something crazy
something
like that.
Yeah.
Also, I don't recognize him as the home run leader. He's hitting home runs in the sandbox.
Who?
Judge.
No, not true, actually. Funny you mentioned that. His splits, home and road, exactly even.
Yep.
I want to see these road stadiums hitting home runs in.
It's all of them! It's all American League!
If it's like Colorado, like, I don't know.
No.
He's got 9 home runs.
I watched that Red Sox game. He hit 2 the other night against the Red Sox. Out of the stadium.
That's so he's also got, yeah, but that's, weirdly he's got a nice, short.
Let's go down the list here. So he's got 2 home runs at Angel Stadium, which is not.
That's a big park.
Yeah,
yeah, I've been there.
5 home runs at Camden Yards. Hard to say. They actually
like
made right field deeper.
Okay.
So not that he's hitting all
he doesn't
of them,
hit
but
him to right.
Well, yeah. He hits a lot over there. He's got 3 in Fenway, 3 in Fenway. Who knows about those? It could be line drives to right.
No, so I was watching the game. So he hit 2 there. One was out of the stadium. It went entirely out of the stadium.
If you hit a home run to left, it's out of the stadium.
Right.
But it went dead to center.
Oh, God.
The other one went dead to center.
He hit 3 in Kauffman. That's like Kansas City. It's
a tough pitcher's park.
It's a pretty big ballpark. Miller Park in Milwaukee's got 2. He's got 5 at the Trop, which is also not the easiest place to hit. He's not hitting wall scrapers in easy places, to be honest.
No.
And he's got 1 more home run on the road than he does at home, so fuck you.
Yeah,
your bullshit.
That's your king, dude. That's fucking.
By
king.
The way, over the last
get to 73
over the last
it.
30 days, so the last full month, 92 at bats, 13 home runs, 25 RBI, and he's hitting .424.
Yeah, but he could never have the fall guy that Barry Bonds had.
Like,
no one's
Anderson?
Going to jail for fucking Aaron Judge.
Why? Because he's too big.
No,
you think he'll rip their head off or what?
I'm saying people went to jail for Barry Bonds
because sure did.
They're ride or die.
Yeah,
nobody's
sure
ride or dying for Aaron Judge.
No.
They're not even going to re-sign him, right? They're going to let him go? They're going to let him walk?
It's more like he wants to get paid.
He's going
to
break the record.
Yeah, he's having an okay contract here.
He's going to break the record and they're just going to let him walk.
Yeah,
I don't think so. He's going to win the Triple Crown. There's no way. There's no way they let him walk.
They might be
but he's going to want what? $500 million or something crazy.
Something crazy like
I mean,
that.
He's 30.
He's not worth $500 million.
So you're gonna, at most, you would give him an 8-year deal. They'll probably give him a 10-year deal, like they did with Pujols, which is not a great deal. But what are you gonna do, right?
I mean, he's worth $500 million in so much as they'll make that back, no problem, off of just jerseys and ticket sales alone. He's not worth $500 million on the field.
I agree. Last but not least, before we get out of here, because Monday Night Football is about to start. Odd story. Police are investigating Kyler Murray getting an open hand smack to the face by a fan when he was walking off the field in Las Vegas. Not that I'm obviously surprised by that, but what do you think's going to happen? You smack fucking Kyler Murray on the field?
Can
while
I tell
the police
you that
aren't going to investigate?
The best part of the story is the irony of the only way they're going to catch this guy is if they review the film.
Yeah.
Also, shouts to Imani Bates. The big time prospect.
Like they have
to
watch
Memphis
film
basketball.
To catch the man who slapped Kyler Murray.
It's a great joke to end on. We got 2 Monday night games tonight. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Use promo code DRINKINGBROS to double your first deposit up to $1,000. We'll be back tomorrow with college football outside the top 25 and then the NFL. And then, Lauren, we will see you in Nashville. I'll be giving you a call here in about 2 minutes about putting some seltzer at that event. Go to mybookie.com. Bet on tonight's games. They're a blast. For D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, Papa Giorgio, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.
goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.